agenda in front of you?
Right here.
Okay.
Okay, call to order, the roll call.
You want me to do that?
Please.
Okay. Roy Davis?
Here.
Michael Brulette?
Here.
Richard Constabelli?
Here.
Thomas Bean?
Here.
Al Cornell?
Yeah.
Barbara Ceramelle? Okay.
So it's the approval of agenda. Approval of minutes from Budget Committee on May 4th, 2018. So what do we do? We're going to go over that.
A motion to approve the agenda.
Yeah, we're going to back up to number two, and then you'll make a motion to approve the agenda, and then somebody here will second it.
Okay, I
make a motion.
Make a motion to approve it.
I'll second the agenda. Motion.
Okay. Roy Davis?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Al?
Yeah.
Barbara?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, amendments and adjustments to the budget document, budget auction.
We'll go to number three, you'll do the same thing. You'll ask for an approval of the minutes with the Budget Committee from May 4th, 2018.
Okay, I'll approve the minutes of the Budget Committee May 4th, 2018.
I'll second that.
Excuse me. Roy Davis?
Abstain. I was absent from that meeting.
Mike?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Al?
Yes.
Barbara?
Yes.
Barbara, you want to sit over in the end with us?
No, she's sick. Oh. No. Oh.
Thanks, Barbara. I withdraw that request.
Don't worry. I'll sit right next to you, Roy.
Okay. Budget discussion by Budget Committee and attendees when recognized by chairperson.
We just ignore it?
I believe that goes to you, correct?
I know. Let's back up just a moment here. All six have to agree.
And you were the abstainer.
Right.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I can't vote on that. So we're going to have to table the amendment or the approval of the budget minutes for
May. Have to have six to approve that?
Yes. A quorum is six, and all six need to agree.
It's majority.
Okay. I assumed that it was five because there's a committee of 10, and it's an even number.
Right, exactly. So in order for a motion to pass, six have to vote in favor of it.
Okay, gotcha.
So we're just going to...
We're going to table the minutes.
Number three. We're going to table number three.
Okay.
Correct.
All right.
So we're on public comments?
No.
You still have number four.
I thought I just wrote, oh. Then that goes to Kim, correct? Budget discussion by the Budget Committee and attendees when recognized number by chairperson.
Four. You have to, number four, you have to make a motion to approve.
Amendments to adjustments to budget document, budget officer.
You have to make a motion to approve that.
No. He did that when he approved the agenda. So he's just going down the line. So it is Kim. And she gets to present any amendments and adjustments.
Okay, is everybody ready?
Yep.
And everybody's got the new and improved one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the old one that has the pretty cover on it that I gave you first had the adjustments that we made that we talked about in the first meeting. However, we gave this to a CPA to look over, and he came back with a few suggestions. So we implemented in this new and improved one. So I'll just go along and show you. There's not too many, so if you guys want to just follow along. And I made the adjustments in the approved by...
If you'll tell us the line number.
Okay. So if you start on page 3, the resources.
We are on page
3. Yeah.
Page 1. The very first page is 3 of 40.
So what I did is I skipped the notes section. These are just the guts of it. So line 5, due from Capital Projects Fund, I added this resource of $24,807. It's actually an interfund loan, basically from General Projects to Capital Projects. It's basically the money that we use before we actually get the project okayed.
Was this left over from something?
No, it's not left over. So a lot of times we don't get the money until after we start the project. So this is the money that we front before we start the project.
Before we get a reimbursement from the grantor.
So it's 24,000, that's for all the projects that are coming up that you have on the agenda for improvements. This fund is to get the project started, correct?
Correct.
Is that gonna be enough?
I believe so, yes. Okay, so in line 8 was Beachfront RV Park. We increased this to $30,193. There was some discussion last time that we didn't have the beachfront enough resources, so we bumped that up.
What do you mean of 1,000? It's 5,000? 500
Well, the difference.
If you look at the two columns, you'll see how it was increased.
Increased.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And line item 14, the fuel dock, we increased $10,000 to $458,516.
Okay.
So that increased the total resources, line 30, from $2,743,051 to $2,808,051. So the total increased $65,000. Does everybody understand that? Mm-hmm. Have any questions? All right. The next page 5 of 40. This is the requirements for administration marina.
Which line?
Line 9. This amount was $45,000 was moved to contingency per CPA advice. This was moved to contingency. He advised to seek legal advice to determine obligation concerning this requirement.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
That number right here, 491,000, is that the total personnel expenses?
Where are you looking?
Yes,
you are right.
That's from all these different business centers?
Yes.
Okay.
Not all of them. Okay, that's for the...
Okay.
Sorry, backtrack. That's for the administrative and marina. So we have for example, Travis, he is designated in a lot of different departments, like administrative, the fuel dock, the boatyard.
Sure. Yeah.
So we have it broke up that way. And then on the...
So your personnel services for administration in marina is $491,000.
Right.
Right, I understand.
But that catches a lot of overhead, that catches our costs and benefits and our workers' comp and our health
right.
and dental.
Right, just the total, that's okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Okay, does anybody have any questions on that?
Are those the only changes?
That's the only change on that page.
Okay.
Well, except for the total requirements changed.
But then last meeting we had, I'm sorry. Wasn't there a question on the retirement plans that we didn't know whether it was gonna be 45,000 or 95,000? Did you compensate for that extra in this figure?
That's why that was moved. You notice that on that line, that it's between 8 and 9, where you see that 45,000 was removed because it was too much of a variable. The CPA said move it to the contingency fund. You're exactly right, Mike. At first it was designated as something that was probably going to happen. But our accountant, who the CPA, said it's too much of a variable to have its own line item.
So they're going to put it in a contingency fund. It just doesn't seem right to me.
Well, because we don't know if we have that obligation or if we need to pay that, or we just need to get more research and seek advice.
Can I ask another question? How many people are involved in this payroll anyway?
There is 8 full-time right now.
8 full-time? That include the port director?
No.
No, she uses contractor.
It's 8. And that's with the, is that paying the taxes and everything?
Oh, no, that has actually 8 plus the manager.
Exactly.
Which we don't have a manager yet, but except for Kathy.
I'm sorry.
So that include the federal taxes and state taxes?
Yes, everything is in there.
Okay, good. Because I was wondering if you do the simple arithmetic there and you divide the amount of employees to that expense right here, it comes out to about over $50,000 a person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you look on.
Well, I understand
that, because
the tax is a big issue, so.
Taxes, it all adds up. I mean, like healthcare and dental is $65,000.
Right, that's
right
a big
there.
Expense.
Okay. Just wanted to know where the numbers come from.
Is there any way the CPA can put that monies in a separate category? Because what bothers me is the contingency funds. I'd rather see that used for the projects or a project that we have. It just seems to me that should be set aside in case we do have to use that for the benefit. If it doesn't, then that can go back into the general fund.
Actually, Mike, to address that specific issue, the CPA, his name is Gerald Burns, it's over in Medford. He was very concerned that our contingency fund was not high enough.
That's another concern I have.
He was very concerned it wasn't high enough. He said with the size of the port's budget, it should have a much higher dollar amount in it.
What are you looking at the contingency fund?
No.
This $45,000 that's the $45,000 from the SEPIRA account.
Right.
That they're talking, that the CPA is recommending that we move to our contingency fund. Okay. Because we're not sure of the obligation that the port's going to have on that. So instead of making it its own line item, we put it in our contingency fund, and then it allows us to pay out what we have to. Well, it just doesn't require, it doesn't put $45,000 into that. It might, it might only be $28,000.
Right. Okay, I got that.
So by the contingency fund, it allows us to adjust that number.
Okay.
When will they know on that?
Oh,
I don't know. It's going to be. I haven't even submitted it. I was going to go through SEAO and see what their recommendations are. Start there.
Next case.
We don't want to mess with anything, mess up anything, so we want to...
No, I understand that. It seems like the faster they get it done, the more we know on the funds that are... for some reason, I just feel uncomfortable saying that it should go in the contingency fund. It just seems like it should be set aside in something else, but...
Kim, are we here tonight to approve the budget, or are you going to do more study?
I hope so.
Okay.
Yes, that's the goal.
I'm just asking that because of Mike's uncomfortability. I don't know how to...
Well,
is there any other options to put that money in?
That's what I asked, but I understand where you're coming from. It's just it is the citizens of the town, I'm concerned about the contingency fund because I know we're going to have monies coming in, and I'm just going to speak point blank as far as a business, is that I am very concerned about monies coming in, going to certain projects, and they must go to those projects, and I know we have to have the contingency fund, but to put monies from a payroll system or a benefit to put in the contingency fund, it just doesn't seem right to me. As far as CPAs, I've owned a lot of businesses in my life, and there's only three questions I ask my accountants. Is accounts receivable, how much is in the checking account, and accounts payables. It just seems to me And it just, I just don't think it's right.
Well, to answer your question, and I'm just sharing my opinion, and from what Gerald Burns has shared with us, this isn't a current payroll liability. If indeed we have the liability, it's from past practices. And I'm using the word if quite sternly, because it's still an unknown. And it hasn't even gone to legal advice yet.
That's a mess.
So it's, well, it is a mess. And unfortunately, we can't go back in time. We, you know, this is what is we've inherited. And so at the very, you know, again, I'll repeat myself. It's a past liability. It's not a current payroll liability.
Can I add to that? And when I was talking to Gerald, the CPA, he wanted us to seek legal advice. And, you know, if it's a liability, our insurance might be able to have a claim on that. So that's what I'm saying. We might have to pay it, and you know, it might be picked up by insurance. There's just so many variables that we don't know at this time. And the contingency, that's what it's really for. Is if you don't know where you're going to spend it, you're supposed to put it there. Otherwise, you know,
Does any other committee members have a comment on that?
I feel, you know, if you're going to get charged by some unknown or not scheduled, who says you got to pay it right away? And, you know, this year, you can schedule for next year or put in the budget for next budget.
And to respond to that, Al, all we know is it's a possibility.
Yeah.
And so we needed to budget according to possibilities.
Good. Move on.
Barbara, you have a comment on that?
Sure.
Excuse me.
No.
Did Barbara? Okay. Can we, is there a way to earmark that in the contingency plan?
Well, it's definitely in our thoughts. I mean, we know about it. We've known about it probably for a few months. I've been working on it since the first
year. Yeah, but I mean, if Travis runs into something out there and it takes the whole contingency money that we have in that account.
Good point.
Are we going to dip into that $45,000 also?
We would have to look at, we would have to take it from somewhere else. We'd have to say, well, we're going to have to take it from, we'd have to look at repairs and maintenance from administrative. I mean, it's got to come from somewhere.
Well, okay.
We've got to lower another requirement. Now Barbara's wanting to speak.
I just wanted to say, if it could be earmarked somehow in contingency, I'm for that. It's just I'm with everybody else. That
I think that's what she's saying.
And when the minutes of this meeting are written up, your recommendations are going to be part of the minutes. Mm-hmm. And that will hold us accountable, all of us.
Yep. Well, then I make a motion on that we have that recording. How do we say this? That we realize that there's $45,000 in the contingency monies
being added to it.
Being added to it. The $45,000 is being added to the consistency fund. And as far as I know, we're making a statement now that we're concerned about the $45,000. Is that clear enough, or should I reword it a different way?
Sound good.
It's perfectly clear. Is there a second?
I second it.
Can I have a question here?
Yes, discussion.
Can that $45,000 be allocated to what it's supposed to be allocated for in the contingency fund and not this fund? Is that what's happening here?
The contingency fund does not have individual line items within the contingency fund.
So it goes into almost like a general fund there.
It's like a sinking fund.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Just wanted to know.
Any other discussion?
So,
Roy Davis?
Yes.
Oh, there's
one more.
Excuse me. I'm sorry, Tom.
So we are not earmarking it?
No.
We're putting it on the record.
We'll put it on the record that
it was suggested. Okay.
No, it's on the record through a motion. That's what you're going to vote on right now.
Okay.
Roy Davis?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Al?
Yeah.
Barbara?
Yep.
Motion passes.
Okay, so going on, beachfront RV, we didn't change any requirements. They stayed the same. Bell and whistle, nothing. Boatyard, nothing changed on that. Page 11 out of 40. Cold storage, of course, is nothing. Page 15 out of 40 is commercial retail. And nothing changed on the requirements. Dredging.
There was sort of an issue with the crab shack thing last night, wasn't there?
No.
No?
No,
okay. Or is that
that's a lease
meeting?
That's a regular meeting.
Okay, that was a commissioner's meeting. Okay.
Okay, dredging, nothing. Fuel dock, the requirements did not change. This house, nothing. Land use events, nothing changed on that. So page 25 out of 40, if everybody's on that page, requirement totals. On line item 17, so taking that 45 out of that, decrease that 45,000. Line 17, that decrease that requirement.
That's for
that's the
this
one
year.
We've just been talking about.
18, 19.
On line 18?
Yeah.
So it takes it out of a requirement for administrative, but it puts it in contingency.
Okay.
So and then that increase or decrease the line 27, the total allocated requirements.
That'd be minus 45K.
Anybody have any questions on that?
You.
Okay, the next page, requirements. So line 23 is operating contingency. That increased 45,000 to 152,774.
Wow.
Page 26 of 40. Barbara's got her hand up.
Wasn't it 79,000?
Yes. So if you go back to the first one that I gave you,
right,
it had went up and there. Amended draft. So at that time, I adjusted the interfund transfer from debt service to 471,549. Increased 112,000 for the 80% requirement to IFA. Decreased 2,354 requirement for debt service. So. The total inter-fund transfers were 641,699.
What page you want
in? She's referring to the very first meeting that we had.
You guys probably don't have this.
Oh,
packet.
Okay.
Oh, you do?
Okay.
Okay, if you refer to page 24 out of that, 24 out of 40. Sorry, everything changes so quick. And we're trying to keep up with them, hopefully.
Page 24, Kim.
What page are we
page
on?
Page 24, if you go to the...
That's the old one.
That's
the old one.
It's the easiest way to explain...
how the contingency
one?
Grew.
Yeah,
right. So it's in the red ink.
Just put 45,000 back into it.
Well, no, not exactly. Okay, so if you go increase the contingency, you can see where it went up to 107. $774. The increase has been added for the possibly needed funds for 25% matching, $113,784 for the basin piling repair replacement, project DR4258OR7. And then you should have got a little enclosure that we just received notice that we were going to get that grant, so that's our matching funds.
Good. Perfect.
So we put it into contingency to help with that.
Okay.
Did you just say we got the grant for the pilings?
Correct, and we had to sign two documents that guarantee that it shows in the contingency fund for this year's budget.
Yes. So this is what we got, and we got it not too long ago. This isn't dated, but it should be in with your minutes, your agenda minutes. But that shows what we're going to get in our matching. We should get $455,000.
How come
do you see it?
Yeah, there you go. You got it.
How come we were so far off on that figure?
We didn't have it exact until they sent us the document.
You mean the capital projects?
Yeah.
It's not really off that far. I think it was like...
Well, there's 40-some-odd thousand dollars difference there. From 107,000 to 152,000, correct?
Okay, so we have to show in the contingency $113,784, which is in highlight on that page. And our contingency now shows $152,774. Some of that is the $45,000.
Okay.
And some of it is because we do expect another grant.
Yes.
And we have no idea. The grant that we have every reason to expect within the next 2 months is for the fuel dock where it's sloping, and that is somewhere around 400,000, but we don't know what our share will be.
25%, don't?
Until I see it, I don't know conditions of that particular grant.
Okay.
As a general statement, the grants require 25%. Sometimes we get a grant like the one that where the dock is right now that Travis has been working on. There is $25,000 in hard cash, and the balance is in kind, which is Travis's working on the project.
Labor.
Labor.
That kind of stuff. So sometimes it's not all cash that we have to put out. Mm-hmm.
So I can't answer you exactly on that. We just don't know what the requirement is going to be until they notify us.
Which will be 2 or 3 months, you said?
Or less.
Okay, good enough.
Let's Barbara.
Go. I just have a question. Is there any way that she could have a line item for monies for the matching funds?
Can we pause there? So if you go to capital projects, it is page 32. So there is a line item for that. It is line item 9, NHMP Basin 1 Piling Projects. And at that time, we thought we were going to get 406.
No, I'm not on the same page as you.
No, did you say page 32?
Yeah, that's the new one.
Right.
But the old one? Are you looking at the old one or the new one?
No, I'm on the new one.
Line 9?
Yes, everybody on page 32.
Yeah, yes. I got it, Kim.
Line right here.
Okay, line but, nine. But it's above 7. If I go over here on these column numbers.
Oh.
That's
okay. Well, the numbers don't look at the left. Look at
what?
The middle.
Look in
she
the
was,
middle.
She was doing
there's
the
no 7.
The
oh God. Okay.
Sorry.
Basin Pier Project. Okay.
Yeah. There's no 7. We eliminated number 7.
Oh, I see how you have it. Okay.
So does everybody see the 406,700?
Yes. Sharon, just only read in the middle column.
Number nine.
I got it. Right. Everybody has that?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So when we met with our engineer, Jack Aiken, we came up with these numbers of what he was projected what it was going to be. And then we got the information that it was going to be whatever that
455.
Yeah, so it's a little bit more. And then to do our matching, we thought we were going to use the 600,000 that we're going to get in the spring. But we want to start the projects this fall, hopefully. But we're not going to get that 600 until the spring. So we put it in the contingency so we can use it if we need it. We might get an interim loan from IFA. There's just too many variables.
Can I ask a simple question? If the project comes in under cost, what happens to the difference that's allocated for
the
this?
What?
If the project comes in under cost, what happens to the extra
under
money?
Under budget.
Well, I'm going to fight like the devil to get it anyway, to get the money. But I.
But the matching fund comes in. Contact with that too.
They're only going to, so how it is, you do the project, you pay everybody, and you submit all the stuff, and then they only give you 75%.
Okay. But that's the limitation is that number, the maximum that they're going to pay.
Right.
Okay.
You're correct.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, like the project that we're working on now is going to go under.
Okay, good.
Unless Travis.
Nope.
Give him a raise.
Puts it somewhere else.
Does this come out in the monthly statements every month?
What are you talking
well,
about?
Well, when we go budget? To our once a month, you have the meeting,
yeah.
And you're okay. Well, so then it'll keep track of what we're spending each month on those particular projects, correct?
Correct, yes. But it goes on the annual amount.
All right.
So it's going to show you what we spent up to that month. Say it's like right now. And then it'll have the annual at the back, and it'll show you the percentage of what is left or what has been used.
Richard's got a question.
Yeah. No, not yet.
Oh.
Sure had that look, Rick.
Yeah, you had that look.
Right. I don't know if we want to go back to. Sorry about that. It's kind of hard to because there's so many.
So did that answer your question at all, Barbara?
Well, that 406,000 is for the whole project. That's the total amount, and they'd only pay us back the 75%, right?
Yes, but we know it went up to 455.
It's the project we found out now is going to cost $455,000 in total to do, and we budgeted 406, but now that we have that number, it made our 25% grow too.
That's why you want that contingency, because you know there's so many unforeseen, you don't know what it's going to be.
And that's one, you know, with this form, they wanted a surefire way that we were going to be able to provide them provide $113,000, and there was no way we could do it other than saying it was in our contingency fund, because the 600,000 that we're going to get,
it's available.
We don't have it yet. So, but the contingency fund is always available for us to use.
Yeah. Okay. I know I'm going backwards, but last meeting we were discussing the fire department. Are we still going to discuss that, or we have to go backwards here?
Let me just finish this one page first, and then
what page are we on now?
Well, if we go back to page 26. It's the last page of the general fund, 26 out of 40 on this one here.
Gotcha.
So we talked about the increase in the contingency to 152,774. Mm-hmm. Everybody understand and get that? Okay with it?
Yep.
All right. So then if you go to line 28, which it looks like they both match, it's an unappropriated ending fund balance. So this was admitted in error on my part, and the CPA found it. This is actually a projected cash balance that we should have July 1st, 2020. So, and the number's based on an average of monthly reconciliation balance. So that's actually a requirement for this.
So really it's an unrealistic number.
Well.
It's estimated.
It just has to be estimated. There's no other way to do that.
Why would they?
You have to put some number in there, because you're always going to have a balance in your checking account. And based on past, that's the number I came up with. Yeah. So that's why I had to increase the resources to the beach run RV and the fuel dock to compensate for this requirement. All right, now, did you want to talk about the fire?
Well, yeah, we passed that over. A lot of time we discussed why we were paying such a big bill on...
I actually have something I'm going to pass out. Kathy's going to.
Who else? You only get one. You had asked John to respond to my words, justification of the $15,000 at the last meeting. And this was his response. It's written as if it's an agreement. I'm going to get Sharon one.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
While you guys are reading that, could I shed some light on this? I guess I just thought of this, but the sheriff's department over across the way is using our facilities over there without paying any rent. So that's kind of another fee that we let go by, just because their presence here is huge at the port.
Security-wise.
Security-wise. Yeah, just having them here, having the cars in here. All
right.
So I just want to show that this is kind of the same deal.
Hey, so is the visitor center.
So we're, it doesn't make sense to me. We're paying over $1,000 a month for training and fire prevention and all that, when the rest of the harbor does not pay a direct fee per household or shopping center, because I've already looked into it, and we are already paying taxes, and then we're going to pay an additional $15,000 a year. It just does not make sense to me.
We don't pay any taxes.
We don't pay taxes.
Well,
the port is taxing.
We don't pay a dime of tax.
He's not saying that. He's saying that the population in harbor.
They're not paying an additional fee for fire protection. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. If we have a fire in the harbor, the Coast Guard is responsible for that.
No. The Coast Guard will not respond to a fire on a vessel while they're moored.
And there's some of us, Mike, that have been here.
That's right.
When the Miss Sarah burned up and exploded.
Or the Eileen.
The Eileen, the green boat, wood boat, Sammy's boat. There's been several Bonnie C. Large boat fires here that have oxyacetylene bottles on them, propane bottles on them, diesel fuel on them. It's probably one of the most dangerous things I've ever watched. Watched Miss Sarah burn up, and when that one fire right there, I'm venturing to say it cost every bit of $15,000 to put out. And we've had one, what I call a train fire, when one boat starts up, the whole dock burns up. We've had one of those in recent years.
That happened in Eureka, and I can't remember how many boats were lost in that one dock.
Also
fire
in Tacoma. And we at one time were donated a fireboat, and like so many other things, it fell in a huge crack somewhere down the road. But I'm just giving you my opinion of what I've seen from the fire.
So since, can I ask you something?
Yes.
Since you've been here probably a pretty lengthy time, you think it's worth $15,000 to train these people and to have the access to the fire department?
If they save one life while I'm here, absolutely.
Okay. Well, let me. And they're here for the for these buildings here too.
And there was a trained personnel in Coos Bay last week, where a 400-pound man fell out of a boat. Tipped it out. His wife, daughter, and dog were in the water.
Yeah.
And they were saved by a highly skilled, trained personnel.
Yeah.
So, Well, do I think it's the port's obligation to pay for their training? Certainly not. But do I believe that it's the port's obligation to lend a hand? I don't understand what you're saying, Mike. With the citizens of the county on this side of the bridge are paying no taxes to the fire department?
No. Because I asked him, I says, to the shopping centers, small retail businesses, and individual households, are they paying an additional fee or a flat yearly fee for fire protection? He said, no, not that he knew of. He said possibly there might be a few. Right. So without saying any names, I've asked a lot of merchants over there, and they're not paying an additional fee for that. But what I'm saying is that since the harbor is in a crunch, is it for $1,000 a month for training, it seems that the fire department could work with us a little bit on that fee. And then when we get back on our feet, we can increase that back up. But, you know, $1,000 a month, you know, that's almost part of a wage for a person. I'm throwing it out there. Is, you know, money's being spent, you know, money spent for dollar value received. I'm just saying, is there any way that, you know, we need to be watching every little P&Q, and that's just one of them that I thought that it just didn't seem quite right, but I'm not disagreeing with it.
I'm not disagreeing with you either, Mike.
For sure. Isn't this sort of analogous to insurance?
Pardon me?
Isn't this sort of analogous to insurance?
Yeah, I agree. I'm not disagreeing with that.
We just want you to know as a committee, and I think a lot of us have talked, and you being the commissioner, that we as the citizens here are concerned that, you know, a lot of expenses have gone up and so forth after what's happened. We care to get the port back into a healthy state. We don't want to cut anything from anybody, but we know that, you know, it might have to happen for a while. We might have to slim things down a little bit and build ourselves back up before we can support anybody else. If we've been doing, and we're just talking about the 15,000 right now, but that's why all the questions about the contingency and everything else is, you know, if we were just to sit here and go, sure, we'll pass everything.
Oh no, we got a great committee. I'm not disagreeing with Michael. I'm just telling what I've seen, and it's kind of like the police. They only get to help you after the fact. So I'm a big first responders fan. That's
I think one comment. The information I got last meeting about the people in Harbor not paying a fireman tax, if you want to call it that. I thought Brazil said something about the assessed value of the property. And they get a certain percentage. The fire district gets a certain percentage of that.
Yeah, that's what it says.
So they pay for it also. But since we're a nonprofit, we are not obligated to pay this and still have the service.
And also, he's not obligated to come put a fire out here as well.
I think he is.
I don't. No.
Well,
why wouldn't he be, Roy?
I've talked to John before. He has to respond to those fires.
Talk to him about it.
The point is that he can come down here with the whole crew, or he can come down here with an RV and say, oh, yeah, there's a fire here. And I'm not saying it's $15,000 worth of bribery here. But, you know, it's a resource that I think every boat owner, every business here will expect to see the maximum effort on the fire department to deal with the fires here.
Well, we could discuss some numbers. Throw out a number, Mike.
Saying is he said he based it on property value.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, there's 15,000. How does he come about of assessing that a value? And his job was, I remember, he said he was going to have to do some homework on it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, in other words, if we're going to pay a bill, it should be an invoice stating, well, hey, you have X amount of value property. Correct. We charge X amount percent per dollar value. And I don't see that.
He changed it into the services, the types of services that he provides for that dollar amount.
And I think the commissioners agreed to that number how many times?
And one thing with all of this, I have to come down here in the middle of the night. I respond to car crashes, if somebody running through our lawn, whatever it is. The Harbor Fire Department is there every single time. They show up, they're there from the beginning, and usually they're there till till the end of it. They make sure everything is covered. Our events, they make sure our fire lanes are open. And within this that I haven't seen them do that, I think that would be very beneficial to the port in making sure that we get this, is the conducting the training inspections with port personnel, and being able to actually work with them in the event that we do have a fire, we do have anything. And if they're willing to go through this and do these recommended safe practices, in my opinion, the $15,000 is an okay number. I'm okay with that number, just seeing the services that they already provide to us. I know it's a big number, but they $15,000 is a small price to pay for a lot of things that they do down here.
But Mike, as the citizens on this committee, throw a number out there. Throw a negotiating starting point.
I mean, where the citizens it seems use. To me that the fire department can work with us at least maybe another year. You know, cut that in half for 1 year and see how it goes. I mean, that's just, I'm looking at all the little P's and Q's. If this was my business, mm-hmm. and I owned it, which I've owned several, is that I'd be looking at every avenue, what I had to do in order to make this thing happen. So in other words, if I go to the fire department, look, we've been paying you $15,000. Let's cut that in half for 1 year and see how it goes. Let's give you $7,500. Can you guys work with that? I mean, those are things that need to be done in order to get things out of the hole. And I'm just saying, $15,000 here, $20,000 there, $10,000 here. You know, if you start watching the dollars, then the $100 bills start coming in. And that's just what my concern is. Is certain expenses like that need to be looked at twice. I'm not complaining about the fire protection. We need them. They're an asset, and I'm all for it. But I'm just saying is that we're on a thin line here, and I'm looking at those numbers over and over and over. And the only way this port is ever going to pull out of it is with labor and income. And there's no other way. And this is expense is something to start with, and that's the way I look at it.
Barbara has a comment.
Well, it was brought to my attention that one of the ways that the commissioner should be looking at the budget or whatever is in the payroll benefits and so forth, that many of the other special districts and stuff have them paying, like matching for your benefits and so forth. If it was giving up paying for your benefits or paying the fire department, if you had to look at it that way, how would you look at it? I mean, that's all that we're saying. We want to protect everything for everybody. But if you got to look at where to cut in the budget and where it would come, if he's saying, I agree with him that it's either labor or our costs that you got to look at, where would you look at? And that's all that we're trying to say.
So this is when I'm going to pat myself on the back, I suppose. I was asked to step in when we lost Gary, and I was initially offered $5,000 as a contract worker. Mm-hmm. I negotiated it at $3,000. I would not take a penny more than $3,000. The port is not liable for any benefits for me. None. I have a job with the Oregon Trail Commission, and I have my retirement at the Trail Commission. I have full health benefits. So I could present a contract for $3,000 to the port. As long as you have me, and the way things are going, and Al had asked me earlier if I would probably stay on until we get a new hire. I have saved the port a lot of money.
Just to answer that, last year we did, our benefits did get cut. So, just well, so you.
But
right.
As part of the budget committee last year, the only thing we did on that budget committee was give you guys a raise. And so, and then you paid the 45, or thought that you were gonna have to pay 90,000 in the past benefits or whatever. Now you found out it's $45,000 and you might not even have to pay that.
Well,
right?
But that's a liability.
Okay, that's but that's not any of the current.
No.
This is all past.
That's
okay.
Past. That's okay. Nothing of current.
Okay. But anyways, last year you did get a raise, though. That was the only
the cost
thing
of living
that
raise.
We gave yeah. to, for the budget. But that's all we're saying is that if you have to look at expenses and so forth and how much more things have gone up, we would like to.
And yet mine went down.
But
and
if
and
I just
labor
use
class,
myself
I mean,
as an
we
example.
Went from, in previous year from 12, having 12 guys outside to now I have four.
Right.
And,
yes,
you know, I mean,
but why
the, as far as the cuts, uh-huh. that I will be one to say we have taken a lot of cuts, as we've made a lot of cuts. And with $15,000 to pay for safety, that is a very, very small price to pay, and especially when I am the one that's responsible to come down here in the middle of the night.
Right.
$15,000, I would approve that number year in and year out if that's all they're asking for, because of what they do help us do.
Quick question, and this goes to the port director.
Yes.
You're looking at the oil and money values and everything else here, and the business plan is such where you want to repair certain things and you want to build certain things.
Right.
Are you confident in terms of the budget of matching the program that you're sort of trying to implement?
And you received that also?
Yes.
The priorities,
but
the update?
That to me is a dream sheet right there, because there's a lot of stuff in there that ain't going to get touched for years and years and years. The point I'm trying to make is having you make a statement saying that you're comfortable with the budget the way it is. Do we have to look at, you know, $15,000 and say, hey, we can use it somewhere else, or we need it somewhere else? Are you comfortable with this?
I'm comfortable with the $15,000 because of the relationship and the past acts that John Brazil's team has done. When I first got on the job, I asked Travis to arrange a training afternoon with John Brazil.
With the personnel.
Exactly. And I think there were four of you that, it doesn't matter. And it was all because I needed to make sure that all of our employees know how to use a fire extinguisher. Pretty damn simple, you'd think. But it was, and he did it. And so we had that, and I can't remember. It was a couple hours long, I think, Travis.
Yeah. And one thing, you know, through all this that I will say, that, like I said before, I think we need to make sure that we receive the training as far as with the fuel dock and within the RV park, what's stated in this, conducting training inspections with the port personnel. I haven't seen that happen.
How many training sessions per year do you go with the fire department?
So far, we haven't seen any, but I haven't seen anything.
You had the one this year.
I'm seeing it here, and if that comes,
so basically,
we make sure that that's coming with it, you know, which I do think it should. You know, the 50, you know, it's starting to neck. It's helping us as a port and helping them work with them, which we're gaining. The port is gaining some knowledge and the teamwork and just everything of being able to do that. I think it helps with that $15,000 number.
And you can't lay the blame on the fire department, because it probably was the port not asking for this training. I'm sure if we went to John and asked him for it, he would say when he wanted.
Well, that just
there.
Shows to me that if we're spending that money, that's dollar value received from the monies that we're spending.
Right.
At least right.
That's the way I'm going to start looking at it. And I think why we brought this issue up with the fire department, if that money was in your pocket and you had to cut, or you had to look at things, you're going to look at every avenue. We have to treat this money if it was our own money. That's the way I'm looking at it. Mm-hmm. And if we all start doing that, we're going to start looking at things a lot differently.
I say ask the people in the audience that might have a boat out here how they feel about it.
I'll tell you, I have a boat out here. First of all, this functionality of the fire department is probably the most critical thing to take care of anything that's going to be a real disaster in this port. Just period. You know, it's more worthwhile than almost anything else.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the thing is that it is worth looking at every single damn item, every single one, to evaluate it. But this is one of those guys, you can't do without it. You just can't do without it. And there's a fair probability it's going to be worth its $15,000.
Well, that's not the point. The point is that was brought up last meeting is the fact that this is a nonprofit and we don't have to pay anything and still get the same service. That's what Jay was.
I'm not sure you're going to get the same service.
Of course. I'm just telling you. It's the law.
But you can't look at it just as fire.
Right.
Because they will come if somebody's having a heart attack, and I've seen many people have heart attacks launching their boats.
They're here
for that. If somebody gets hurt down on their boat or their dock, they're there. The Coast Guard is not. And my dad's boat burned right out in the dock one year. It's been many years past, but it did. And the fire department's the one that responded.
And how about the 4th of July?
Yes.
Celebration.
Yeah, and they set boats on fire and the fire department's there for that. But I just want you to realize that it's not just fire. They're here for injuries and other things.
Huh? Well,
and they're always responding.
When the Corps of Engineers capsized, they were represented there. They were doing whatever it took. Traffic control to pulling lines. Just traffic control.
Anyway.
Multiple things.
I just want to make it clear, I'm not against this monies. I just hope everybody understands what I'm bringing up. Is it dollars spent for value added? That's just what I'm saying. I'm not against it.
We agree.
Okay.
Can we move on?
We all agree.
Because I really feel that as citizens, we really need to start getting more involved with what we're doing in this port, because I just really feel this is the last chance we've got with this port, because we've got some great opportunities coming up with this place, and I'm just concerned about every nickel. That's just my opinion, and that's how I feel.
I think everybody has that opinion too.
So do I understand you to say that it's okay to leave it in the budget?
Well, I would like to add to that, Travis, if it's possible, it would be bad for the employees if he would not mind spending more time with you guys with some training exercises.
I think that, well...
That would add to the value of the 15 that we're spending.
I haven't seen this, and now that I've seen it, I'll be making sure that we get it.
Okay, cool. Okay, well, I make a motion that we vote for it.
You don't need to.
It's still in there? Okay.
Yeah, you'd only take a motion if you're going to remove it.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay. So, what else on the budget do you want to talk about?
Let's see if I can
What page are we on now?
Well, no, she's...
I did make one more change, if you want to go to page 32, capital projects fund. That's probably about it. It's page 32, line item 4.
Four.
The map grant.
Sorry. It's between 5 and 6, the side line item.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Map grant.
I probably should add those numbers in the future. Okay, so map grant, I omitted in an error. I had the requirement down below, but I didn't have the resource. So I added the resource, and since I already had the requirement on there, I put it down for reserved for future expenditure in line 26. It's a grant that we need to maintain the Santa Sailor.
The pump out stations that we have at the fuel dock, on the transit dock. The launch ramp restroom. It's a grant that we get on a yearly basis to help pay. It's not guaranteed, but once we get it, it's money allocated to maintenance.
So that is all the changes that I have. And if you guys want to discuss anything?
Just out of curiosity, so the port has had a disastrous experience with Slam and Salmon and various other events, not making any money. it seems to me that they should be capable of producing, you know, a fair amount of income, because they have been very popular in the past, and whatever has been happening there was, don't know what happened.
You mean you want the port to sponsor the events again, to run them?
Yes, it could be a money-making problem. Why?
Always lost money.
We don't have the manpower. We have
right
no
now,
employees to do it.
The cost, our overhead of staffing people overtime, mm-hmm. Especially on holiday weekends where we pay double time for employees to be here.
Okay.
4th of July, you know, are double time.
Rick.
And those are 10, 11, 12, anywhere, sometimes 14-hour days that you're paying double time. And then plus your toiletries, everything that you have to do to keep up. Now, we just take X amount of dollars and they have to do it. I had to come down here twice over the...
They have to advertise for
over
the
vendors. Last event. And we don't have to hire an event planner. You know, somebody to plan and place people.
Well, the perfect example is the Pirate Festival. You know, Bruce takes care of the whole thing.
Yeah. And also,
this weekend, or last weekend.
Can we find somebody like him to do those events? Like, you know, we have no salmon slamming deal anymore. Why can't we change it to a lean cod festival or something to generate the income for the port, because that brings a hell of a lot of people in here.
Here's the reason why, Mike.
Okay, let Rory.
The port leases or, you know, gives the property away for a most minimal amount out there to the event coordinator. This past weekend, it was Mike and Alex Checo Bruin who did a phenomenal job. Okay? So they get the port for X amount of dollars. The port does nothing. Then they turn around, and some of these vendors out here are paying as much as $540 for a space, times however many from one end to the other. So yes, a lot of money, but ain't nobody in this earth gonna come here and pay the port $540 because we're the port. For whatever reason, it doesn't work for the port. But if you're an vendor coordinator, like Darla went over to the BoatNet, and that was $1,000 for a spot. She's willing to pay the event coordinator that, but would she go over there and pay the city of Grants Pass that? Because they're the city, they're the tax entities. For some reason,
nonprofit.
Yeah, the people won't pay $400 or $500 a spot to the port.
Well, I talked to them when they had it, and she said some of those booths were $175.
On the small tents,
yeah.
Pop-ups, that's correct. But they won't pay the
port. Okay, well, I'm saying that let's say we have a lean cod festival or salmon slamming, mm-hmm. and these people take care of it. Are you concerned that we jam up the harbor? Is the facilities you're having to take care of that, or do these people are in charge of all that?
Facilities just defined.
They will be responsible for their event.
Trash,
porta potties. It will land on me to make sure that, you know, if the launch ramp's so plugged with boats because of it, you know, there's certain obligations. We'll still have to clean the fish station.
Have those people been ever approached on something like that, like a big event like the salmon slamming?
Well, I believe last year it was Alex. They did the salmon. Famine festival. I didn't come down for it, but and this particular time, Alex had contacted the office about doing it, but it really isn't a famine this year because we have a salmon season. It just happens to end before Labor Day.
Yeah, but does it have to be on Labor Day? I know we haven't had it, but does
that's
it
what Richard Heap had suggested, it be somewhere, you know, during the salmon season. But that hasn't happened. There isn't a three-day weekend between 4th of July and Labor Day.
Now, the port gets X amount of percentage of what they bring in for those
No.
Booths?
No.
Nothing?
A flat fee. For the use of the property.
Alex and Mike paid for the whole boardwalk, whatever amount they paid.
This doesn't sound like economically a very swift idea.
And let me add,
Okay, yep.
Gary Dillinger was on the path, like nobody knows, to getting this port out of debt and on the road to receiving $27 million and $600,000 and $400,000 in grant. His plan was very simple once he dug in and set spreadsheets that I'm sure Kim has seen many times. Travis has probably seen them. The port should be a landlord. They should not be in the event business. They should not be in the laundromat business. That doesn't work. They should not be in the ice house business, cold storage business. They should be a landlord. Now you're making money.
Biggest problem is we're not trained to do it. We have no idea. We don't have any, you know, the slam and salmon and stuff before. We've had to go out and seek people that could tell the difference between a king salmon and a silver, or however that works. To be honest with you, I don't know the difference. When it comes to events, we don't know how to run events. With the ice house and storage,
this is all well and good, and that's, I appreciate that entirely. But if these guys got a flat fee and they're getting $500 and $175, mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be possible to charge them more so that we get some profitability out of it also?
There are, go ahead, Kathy.
Well, Barbara's got a question too. I do want to answer you, Richard. Go ahead, Barbara.
I just wanted to make a comment on there. I'm a certified event planner, and I sat through all the board meetings for many, many, many months of the commissioners when they talked about this. And they made the right decision in doing what they did, because every event that the port tried to do for the longest time lost money, and they didn't lose a little money, they lost a lot of money.
Yes, I can tell you yes by being the book. Yes.
Yeah.
We're finally in the black.
Yeah.
When we have an event.
But so specifically, talk about what you're saying. It looks, the way that we are talking, that Alex and Mike made a lot of money. But they didn't charge any money to attend, and they paid big bucks for the band, mm-hmm. all the music. So any profit they had, they turned back into attractions.
The dumpster to get rid of the garbage was $800.
Well, see, when you think about the cost, and if you're going to hold a 3-day event, you better have music. But all of this is advertising for their business. Remember that they've got uptown. So that they are more willing to take that investment and turn it around to a big bash. Port
Not
can't
all
do
events
it.
Make good money.
No.
There's one end. There's also an event in Coos Bay. It's huge. It's absolute. I mean, like 3/4 of downtown Coos Bay is blocked off. Coos Bay don't do anything but provide
the space.
Correct. And there's an event coordinator that brings
correct. That's
over.
What I was getting at. There is event coordinators.
Correct.
That will come in, because I used to be in the event business. Mm-hmm. Is that they'll come in and the port can charge X amount of dollars, and it's negotiable. They run the whole show. Mm-hmm. All you guys is receive a fee, and that's what I'm trying to say, is what he's trying to say too, is there's got to be events that we can let these people come in, and the port gets another income off of it.
Well, it's interesting. As you were speaking, yes, we had an event guy come into the office. He wanted to put the circus up in between traveling from town A to town B, but he wanted to have my parking lot. And I said, well, no, you can't have my parking lot. I need it for the boats. And, he specifically was looking for a place because he's got to travel from A to B, and he wanted to stop somewhere along the line. Not everybody that comes through the door is someone that we want to negotiate with.
No, I totally understand. There are some really respectable event planners in the state. I'm just looking at it as to where the port can make more money, and that's where he's coming from too.
And we are listening and taking down those names and numbers. Some of you haven't been here long enough. But when Cycle Oregon, the very first event that Cycle Oregon had, they ended in Brookings. We had the Brookings Fishermen's Marketing Association put on a salmon barbecue down at the RV park. What do we have, more than 1,000, 2,000 bicyclists? And then with their support people, there must have been 5,000 people. Oh, that's a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But we're available to hear about those things. There has to be a group that we can go to as the port to say, hey, would you be willing to do a salmon barbecue? We're not going to bring in vendors. Really, I mean, getting a vendor list, that takes 2 years to develop.
Mike? Can the port actually control and support a program where, you know, if a vendor comes in here and wants to do a whole thing on the port here, you have the rules, regulations, and everything else at hand to control the whole thing. So in other words, when Mr. Ellis comes in here with the Pirate Festival, he knows exactly what he has to do with the garbage, with the food, with the fencing and everything else.
Absolutely.
I have no problem with that. Now, if your office is, you know, capable of dealing with people like Bruce, he's a promoter. He's sort of a huckster in terms of, you know, just pushing things all the time. And it leaves the port footloose and fancy free to conduct port business.
Exactly. We're not going to influence in any way, shape, or form how they put on their event as long as it fits within the criteria that the port has established.
Yeah, well, the Slam and Salmon thing was a private event when it began.
Yes, it was.
And then they turned it over to the port for some reason. I don't know.
And then it was a failure.
Only because the port didn't want to see it go away.
That's right.
That's the only reason.
There's still people asking about it all over.
Right.
And still asking for fairness for that.
Get a promoter out.
Here's the thing, Mike. The port is willing to give the space for a fee.
Yep. That's what I was getting at from the very beginning. That's all I'm saying.
Right. We want events.
Yeah.
Debbie Phillips.
If somebody wants to put on a Slam and Salmon,
do you have a schedule?
Come on down.
We have a schedule.
Brand new space to
do. Yes.
You have a schedule of expenses.
In fact,
and they're broke down.
I'd like to talk to you about it.
You have to realize none of this was criticism.
I can tell you. No,
this is constructive.
When we started doing the events, because I was here 8 years, it was all thought of as it's a good thing for the port.
Absolutely.
We all thought it was good for everything. And we kept doing them and kept doing them. And then after we did it for 4 years and you start running our numbers of what we're doing, you know, we were losing $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year on events. Now we're not making very much, but we're making money. No, we're making money on the space, and the events are still happening. So
and it's
there
good
might be
for
more
the businesses
that's
that
what it's
bring
all about.
Absolutely.
It's good for the businesses that are here.
Yes, we're bringing in
for the whole community. Yeah. Okay.
And to do that, just to add to it, to do those events is part of the reason why our labor force so high
it's
to cover it.
Peculiar.
But then once your summer ends, you can't just fire people because the summer's up. So then you're having all these people during the winter, which is costing you money in hopes to be able to catch up with the summer flow. And it was just a loss after a loss after a loss.
Did you ever work in construction?
Many years.
So did you still have something you wanted to ask?
Many years. Time. Goodbye.
On the events.
Okay, exactly. Roy has something more that he'd like to say.
Just one more thing, Mike. And Rick, Debbie Phillips and myself, whatever how many years ago it was, started the party at the port. The theme was a motorcycle show and a car show with a band. We had two bikes and we had three cars and a band. The next year we did it 3 years in a row, and the third year it's fairly successful. But it got so big, Debbie wasn't feeling well, and Debbie said, I can't do this no more. So she went to the port and said, hey, look, the party at the port is very successful now, and would you know, Roy and I aren't going to do it no more. They picked it. They liked it. But, Mike, it was not a moneymaker. It was, we get a lot of crowd through here. The city doesn't have places to put, they don't have the property. So that's why we're able to draw those events. And what I would like to add is, okay, say the Pirate Festival is 3 weeks down the road. You got 3 weeks in between, you know, Memorial Day and the Pirate Festival. Fill that in with a Lincod fishing tournament. Bring the pooch walk thing. I mean, anything can fill a weekend, and the port will sell the space. You bring your porta potties, you bring your trash bags, and it's worked out. You know, I'm a party guy. I'm an event guy. I stay down here 6 hours a day, Friday, Saturday, mm-hmm. Sunday this weekend, listen to all the music, and it went off without a hitch for the port.
Great.
So let me, I think the question is this: how does the port, well, want to promote, an entrepreneur coming in here with a festival? Do you have the reach to reach these people? I mean, you know, they're off over here.
People
the port's
call
over here.
All the time. We send applications all the time. People want to have their event here.
Well, what's slowing it down?
How's it slowing down, huh?
What?
We haven't lost anything. What have we slowed down?
Well,
if you go to our website and you go to the events calendar,
a lot of people like to say they're going to do it.
Yeah.
A lot of people like to say they're going to do it. You know, you get
all
10 people that will say they're going to do it. Just give me one out of those 10.
Okay.
So, you know, we're working on it, but we're not losing anything either.
Okay, good.
But I think, like you said, I mean, salmon season, so off.
But
throw a link onto anything.
Don't quit coming up with ideas.
No,
what I'm saying is, I'm look. No, I used to do that. I'm not doing it. Is it any way that the port can make a few extra bucks in any avenue is gonna help, no matter what it is. And I just think that from talking from people from on the other side of the hill, there's a lot of people that want to come, but there's no real urge for them to come. And I think the port is a community we need to create more that they're gonna come, and we have to create a reason for them to come.
Mike, one other thing. If you have a board that will allow Vince to come, then they'll come. If you have a board that says no to food trucks and food vendors over on our beach, nobody's gonna come. It comes right down almost to the board. It doesn't come down to the manager, the director.
Who has to approve a contract with a promoter? Does the business office here do it?
It's just an application. It's not a contract. It's an application.
Okay. Well, does the board have to say to somebody putting on a festival here?
They can stop it.
Why? I don't understand.
Well, the type of event. Now, I have fought for food trucks and food vendors over at the beach, and I get this, well, this is not Ventura? No, it's sure as hell not. But can't we have a little fun in Brookings too?
We got to create the activities.
Let's make it Ventura.
That's right.
We got to create the activities. People
you
will
create
come.
It and
you know, what I'm asking you is that there's the business office signed a contract with a vendor that wants to put on a program. Mm-hmm. And what does the port commissioners have to say about that?
The four commissioners
approved it first?
No, they approved the contract as such. The manager, that's the manager's option now.
Right.
They come in.
Does the commissioners have anything to say about it?
Okay, so let me answer you. Yes. Last October, November, as I was reviewing the minutes from the past, Gary made a recommendation to the commissioners that Alex specifically be okayed for on the Saturday market.
Right.
So the commissioners approved. That was the one that I saw. So the commissioners approved hers, that one specifically. Travis can give me more information about
the process. No, just on that, and I see where I was coming from, and it's kind of one of the things that I think we need to remember is that the commission does not get to decide. When they approve what the applicants mm-hmm. will write down, mm-hmm. but once that's filled out, the person that approves that says yes, you can have an event, is the manager.
Okay, so if she wants to put on a pot festival.
As far as food trucks, I would have to. As far as food trucks,
I would have to. And the port commissioners don't like it. What happens?
Manager's decision. We created the application. Give it to the manager and don't meddle in day-to-day operations. Okay. Period. Okay.
And it's a big misconception.
What I'm getting at,
the commissioner's job. Yeah.
We should get back to this.
Thank you.
We're here for the budget.
Okay.
Yeah. So, is there anything else on the budget that you want to talk about and be more informed about? Or are you ready to make a motion to approve the budget document to forward it to the commissioners for approval?
I would like to make a motion to approve the budget and overview this evening.
I will second that.
Vote, please.
Any discussion? Where's my agenda? Roy Davis.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes.
Thomas.
Yes.
Al.
Yes.
Barbara.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.